Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, good Monday, everybody. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty and Kelly Center. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove. Great show for you today. Andrew Abbott is going to be joining us later. We're going to be here from Carson Pato, and Coach Christian Ostrander is, I'm so happy to say, baseball practice is underway. Three scrimmages under the belts of the guys over the weekend. And getting ready for the countdown on February 14th. Also, about to talk to our good buddy Barry McKnight, play-by-play voice of the Troy Trojans. Before we get to that, Southern Miss ladies snapped a five-game losing streak to Marshall over the weekend. They beat Marshall 54-48. I wanted to talk about this first. Malia Grayson is such a great player. Moved into 11th place all-time scoring. Her 26th double-double. Malia Grayson with 20 points and 12 rebounds Saturday as she leads the 7-13 Golden Eagles to a good win, a really solid win over the Marshall ladies basketball team, 54-48. The men picked up their first road game win of the year as they beat Louisiana 67-59. It was Jay Ladner's 150th win of his Southern Miss career. All nine players that saw action scored at least 2 points and grabbed a rebound. Men back on the road later this afternoon against Troy. Barry McKnight does the play-by-play for the Trojans. Barry, what's that start time, and how do we end up with a weird Monday afternoon evening game?
You know, the start time, I don't know. Of course, we were supposed to play on Thursday, and of course, there's snow everywhere, and we are not necessarily equipped to handle that. So they moved it to Monday, and all of our midweek games are scheduled to start at 6. This one does start at 5, and I am told it was actually to agree to a travel request from Southern Miss. They asked if we could move it up an hour, and they've been so accommodating with all of this that we decided that, absolutely there's no problem with Troy, although, you know, we're wondering about a late-arriving crowd. My thought, and it's just a thought, is that after four straight games on the road, they're ready to cut an hour off of it because they've been away from home for so long. Yeah. Maybe that's it. Who knows?
Well, that may be. Let me tell you why I say that. I was visiting with John Cox Friday before they left, and he was explaining to me that they had that long drive to Louisiana, to Lafayette. They were going to turn around. He said they'd be about 2 o'clock in the morning getting home. Then they were going to get on a bus Sunday afternoon and drive over there to you guys. And then he said, you know, we're probably looking at another 2:30 arrival back in town. So that's probably, But anyway, what are they going to run into tonight when they take on the Trojans?
Well, there's going to be a team that is hopefully hitting its peak, at least, you know, at this point of the season. The big win against Southern Miss on Saturday cured a few ills. The Trojans had lost late against South Alabama. The big win over South Alabama on Saturday. The Trojans had lost late last Saturday in Mobile. Two late referees calls that if either one of them would have gone Troy's way, Troy wins that game down there. They lose by one. in the last minute. And then they really led throughout against South Alabama on Saturday. The defense has been really good. They held South in both games to less than 70 points. They gave up 55 on Saturday. So what it has been a team that has really kind of found themselves defensively and has one guy who has really just elevated his play all the way around to a championship level, and that's Tayden Conerway. He's been spectacular, really, over the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, Barry, I actually saw your game against South Alabama. You're putting it diplomatically by saying two referees' calls. You weren't even playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and you didn't get any calls.
Yeah, no kidding. Believe me, the Troy fans were making those same analogies. Believe me.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I'm going, man, that's a shame. You know, that's because you had battled back from like what, 20 points down.
Yeah, 20 points down at halftime, took a late one-point lead, got a stop, but the ball went out of bounds. I thought, honestly, that that it was off South Alabama. It seemed clear to me. They gave it back, and then they lobbed it up down one to the rim, and they called a foul on Troy that, you know, could have gone either way there. But the key is, I mean, you hate losing to South. Everybody
right.
does, especially a program like Troy. It was our first chance to win down there in a long time. But the real key is to kind of flush it away. You can sit there and woe is me, and pretty soon that one loss becomes two. It was a difficult one, but what was really critical was to be able to react the way that Troy did against South Alabama a week later in Troy, where the crowd was great, the defense was great, and really South Alabama couldn't get anything consistently done. That occurs to me to be a kind of a recipe for success for Troy down the rest of the year. Defense and some timely shooting.
Well, when you look at the playoff brackets in the Sun Belt Tournament, 1 and 2 are highly coveted spots because you're already in the semifinals. You guys find yourselves just a half a game out of second, and the dreaded South Al Jaguars are one of those teams. So this one tonight against Southern Miss is one you especially cannot afford to drop, especially at home.
Well, the thing that strikes me about this game, Scott Cross mentioned it to the team after Saturday night's win. He says, look, we are 8 points away from being undefeated in the league. You know, Troy is 14 points away from being 15-3 overall. So the losses have been close. There's a play or two here or there that you can make down the stretch. But I think one of the keys about this game tonight for Troy, it was one of the keys against South Alabama, and that if you're going to beat Southern Miss, you have got to literally do that. You have got to beat them. This may be the only team in the league that is more experienced than Troy is. And look, they've had success against the Trojans. Najee Harris knows what it takes to beat Troy. Corbello and those guys have seen, you know, Southern Miss wins over the Trojans. They know what it takes. So, you know, whatever happens in this thing, I don't think any bit of it is going to be a surprise to Southern Miss or that they would be unprepared for it. If you're going to beat them, you better beat them because they're usually not going to beat themselves.
Southern Miss has had a really hard time on the road, Barry. They broke a 10-game yeah. road losing streak Saturday night against a not very good Louisiana team. Has Troy struggled on the road as well?
No, what's been interesting, and that's a good question. Nobody's really asked that or pointed that out. Troy has been great on the road. Troy, in their first road weekend in the league, won at Appalachian State and then won at Marshall. We were 2-0 in the league, but then we came home where the Trojans have been just about unbeatable for a few years now under Scott Cross, and lost 2 in a row, lost 1 to Texas State here at Trojan Arena, lost 1 to Arkansas State at Trojan Arena. Both games, Troy had a 9-point halftime lead. So it sounds crazy to say this, and I've watched them a lot, but it was the home issues that really have caused the less-than-ideal start for Troy. They've been really good on the road.
Well, Barry, we haven't gotten to see Arkansas State. We will see them Wednesday night here in Hattiesburg,
yeah.
but you have seen them. They are pretty doggone good, aren't they?
Well, they don't do very many things wrong, I can tell you that. You know, we have a 9-point lead, but they to me, Arkansas State, Southern Miss, and Troy are the three most experienced teams in the league. Arkansas State, certainly the deepest. We had them on the ropes, and they never blinked. You know, they've got the great player in Julianne who can control the tempo. They've got, you know, that style of play to where they don't take many mid-range shots, if any at all. If they hit those three-pointers, they are really, really difficult to beat. They are, you know, they're the best team I've seen in this league so far.
All right, 5 o'clock tip. Is that right, Barry?
5 o'clock start time, yes. And after that, Southern Miss finally back at home. I will say this. Southern Miss has shown signs. You mentioned the win over Louisiana. Remember, they had that Texas State game. They had the Bobcats beat on the road. So, you know, the number jumps out at you, you know, that they're, 1-8 on the road. But I'm telling you, they're showing signs lately of figuring that out.
All right, Barry, we really appreciate your input, man. Always enjoy our conversations with you. Have you back on the Eagle Hour real soon.
It sounds good. I look forward to that.
All right. Barry McKnight, everybody. Play-by-play voice of Troy. Hey, we're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, and happy to have them on the team. Opening segment was sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, which is a great place to eat tonight. All right. Coming up, Andrew Abbott is going to join us. We're also going to hear from Tuna and Coach Oz. We're going to switch gears and talk about, well, my favorite subject, baseball, next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, appreciate Barry McKnight stepping in, talking about that odd Monday afternoon game over at Troy, Alabama. This segment of the show is sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, a great place to buy all your Southern Miss apparel and a great place to get ready for the upcoming baseball season. They've got baseball stuff all through the store. That's their bestseller. Wonder why. And they got all new stuff this year, so make sure you check out our friends at Campus Bookmart. All right, Andrew Abbott is about to join us from Pine Belt Sports. Before we do, I want to get play this for you, Andrew. This was a quick, about 2-minute soundbite from Christian Ostrander from the Media Day Friday, and then get your comments about your observations of Media Day as well. Here we go.
Pitching is everything, it seems, in college baseball. And I know it's early, but how do you feel about this staff you're going to put on the field this year?
You know, I'm very excited about it. I'm always cautiously optimistic every year with that. The pitching part of it is, you know, to me, is really a defining characteristic of a good team, a good program, a championship caliber team. And I think I trust my eyes. I think the pieces are there. I don't think there's any doubt about that in my eyes. There's some guys that are going to be in some roles that they haven't been in before. That doesn't mean they're not ready. You know, is they just we haven't seen it in some of those roles. So, you know, they're going to have to go and earn that and prove that. So, really, it comes down. I think the pieces of the puzzle are there. We just got to make sure we put them all in the right spots, and that'll take a little time. It always does. As much as I'd like to open up, you know, on February 14th, knowing exactly where everybody's supposed to be. That's not realistic. But we feel very good about the talent level. And I think we're going to, you know, like what we see once things kind of settle in and they fall in the right places.
Andrew, you were at media day. And of course I asked him that question about pitching, because it seems to me that pitching is everything, in college baseball. He seems, well, you heard what he said, cautiously optimistic. How optimistic are you about the strength of this pitching staff upcoming season?
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me back.
Sure.
In terms of this pitching staff, it's, you know, especially being out there all weekend, it's still kind of what I think it was before. It's going to be young. They need guys to step up. And, you know, there's talent, but it's unproven, which is kind of what Oz was alluding to. But, you know, there's some highlights. I just think they're going to take some bumps and bruises early on.
Give us your observation. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was just saying, but I do think they have more than plenty of capability to bring it together.
I didn't get out there this weekend. You said you were there all weekend. Just kind of give us an overview of what you saw, what your impressions were, if you will.
It looked very much like the opening weekend scrimmage. You know, the bats were, you know, they had their highs and lows. You know, I do think Ben Higdon has picked up where he's left off, the Kentucky transfer. I know I said it was between him and Jay Cook in center. If it's not Ben Higdon out there in center, I will be more than surprised. I think he won that job in the fall, but he looks very good. Another, you know, I've been paying attention to the third base battle, and truthfully, you know, they brought in Jace Norton from Mississippi State. They've got Seth Smith back, and, you know, they got a young freshman of Dre Barrett. And, you know, I kind of walked away from this weekend that this is a battle between Seth Smith and Dre Barrett, because Dre Barrett, I think, has had one of the best bats so far. He had one of the best bats this weekend. He was really coming along towards the end of the fall.
So do you think, and again, it was obviously the first weekend, this going to be a better hitting team than last year, about the same? What was your observation offensively?
I think it's going to be better hitting. And you say that, they hit .297 last year, which any team would take. But, you know, they didn't have as much power as they probably would have liked. But I think what people kind of forget is, you know, Davis Gillespie didn't really take the full reign of the lineup until halfway. Same can be said for Matthew Russo. You know, there was guys who became, you know, guaranteed pieces of that lineup, and they just didn't really emerge until the halfway point. So, you know, I do think we'll see more home runs and more doubles this year. I think Ben Higdon is going to really contribute to that. I think Nick Monastery is going to pick up where he left off. Russo hit a big home run this weekend. So did Carson Pato. So I think there'll be a little bit more firepower, but, you know, at the end of the day, you want to see the bats be consistent. And I do think they have plenty of solid options in terms of, you know, power hitters. And I think the meat of the lineup is going to be pretty tough. But I, you know, that first 1-2-3 spot, I don't know how they're going to go about it, because I couldn't tell you who's going to lead off for them right now.
But it's a good problem to have, I think you'll grant, Andrew, because lots of times coaches are scraping. They don't know who's going to be in the 1, 2, and 3, but it's more the lesser of three evils rather than, you know, you can't do anything wrong with any of them. And when you talk about the returning starters defensively for this Southern Miss team and the pitching staff, I just don't know. The only thing that I think could get in the way of maybe an overall better season is injuries and this schedule, because the schedule is probably the toughest that I've seen in covering baseball for a long time here at Southern Miss. What say you?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely with the schedule. I think injuries as well. Of course, you know, we saw that last year. But, you know, I just think, you know, this is the first time, I couldn't tell you how long, that they don't have at least like one weekend starter back, you know, and it definitely showed this weekend. Now, I think some guys looked really good. I think J.V. Middleton was probably the best arm this weekend. And, you know, he was probably fixing to be the Saturday arm. Cross Sidley looked really sharp, too. But, you know, Kobe Allen, who I would have guessed would have been the Friday starter, he kind of struggled on. And, you know, it's the first day of scrimmage. There's time. And, you know, he gave up a lot of walks, but, you know, he only gave up one run, but he put himself in a lot of tough situations and got out of it. So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot to be figured out. Matt Adams, you know, I think is in the battle for that Sunday spot. And, you know, he's still, you could tell his shoulder is still not what it was. And he's still trying to figure some things out. But, you know, the experience is there. I just think they have a lot to figure out still. And that, I think, if anything, is might hurt them more than that, culminating with the schedule. I think, like I said, is going to cause some bumps and bruises along the way.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you look at the first month of the schedule, it's just absolutely brutal. I mean, it's just brutal, Andrew. I don't know any other way to describe it. So I'm with you. I think you could come out of the first month of the season 500, maybe a little above 500, and you should probably be pretty happy with that, right?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, you got to win the games that you got to win. You know, you really need to sweep Lafayette, you know, and even though that's a four-game weekend and there's a doubleheader in there, which is not easy. But, you know, you got to win those games, that those few breaks, so to speak, if there are any, you got to win them. And you know, they really need to be good at home again, too, because, you know, you do have some of your tougher games at home, which is a little bit more beneficial, particularly in that first month. But, Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be easy for them. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see what they look like come that TCU series, because That's going to be the peak of their RPI, probably when it's all said and done.
Yeah, TCU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Louisiana Tech, all in the first month. Who there is easy, Kelly?
No, there isn't anybody.
Nobody.
That's easy there. But, you know, like you say, iron sharpens iron, and that's one of the things they've been trying. And what's interesting to me is, as mediocre at best as the Sun Belt is in basketball,
In baseball.
And they're not, the Southern Miss is not even by a lot of prognosticators picked to be the best team in the Sun Belt. Troy is getting all the love for some reason. You know, if you base it on experience returning players, offensively and defensively, I don't know why Troy is getting.
Explain that, Andrew. Why is Troy getting all this love? Top 25, Troy.
Well, I do. Now, for what it's worth, I too think Troy will be a good baseball team. We did kind of see it last year. And I don't know about returning production, but, you know, their coach has them very much trending the right way. You know, from the Troy team I watched, that looked like it's going to be a team that, you know, people are going to have to deal with in the Sun Belt moving forward. It just seems like they've been heading the right way. I don't quite, and again, I'm not well read on Troy. I haven't really done any season reading previews on everybody else yet to just be informed, but I do think Troy is a good club, and they've kind of stabilized, and they are putting themselves in a consistent 35-win season in that realm. You know, kind of, I don't want to put them on the same tier of Coastal Carolina, but, you know, they're looking to be one of those teams that's going to regularly finish in the upper half of the Sun Belt. Again, I don't know why they're number 25 or ranked or anything like that, but it wouldn't shock me if they finished out the season in the top 25 either. I just think their program has been heading in the right direction for quite some time.
Needless to say, the Sun Belt is going to be tough. Games are going to be battles, and nothing is going to be easy in the league, is it, Andrew?
No. Well, you do get Marshall. That's on the road.
Yeah, Marshall stinks.
And honestly, you know, you don't have to play Coastal this year, which is kind of a relief. You do get ODU. You know, the past two Sun Belt schedules were a lot tougher than this one, so I think that might help them out a little bit. But again, that non-conference is going to be rough on them.
Andrew, always enjoy our time with you, man. We appreciate you coming on the show very much.
Of course. Thanks for having me again.
All right. Andrew Abbott, everybody, from Pine Belt Sports. And we do not have any bumper music here. This is one of those days. There we go.
Oh, there it is.
We'll be right back.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, our thanks to Andrew Abbedy for joining us from Pine Belt Sports. Always good to have Andrew on the show. This segment of the show sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill right there in the shadow of the rock where you can catch all the big ball games. Also, I want to say hello to our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the best on the road. You can visit their new showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And don't forget about the Eagle Hour podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube. Now, I understand we had some technical issues in the first half of the show with our radio broadcast around the network, but we are obviously recording the show, and what you missed, you can pick up on the podcast. I'm sure Michael Morgans will have it up within 10 or 15 minutes after the show. So if you missed the stuff from Barry McKnight or either Andrew Abbedy and you want to hear that, you can go check out the podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're talking baseball this afternoon, and we were talking to one of the great baseball players on the team Friday afternoon, the Tuna himself, Carson Pato, fired up and ready for his last season as a Golden Eagle, and here's how that conversation went. Carson Pato, Tuna, on the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and Tuna, coach was talking about you in the press conference. He said you've already gotten a little emotional about this being your last year. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, me and him have had a couple of talks with it. It's just kind of hard to imagine. I've already been here for 5 years, and I'm about to enter into my last season. And like I said, we've talked about it multiple times, and, you know, I agree with him. He just keeps telling me just to soak it in and enjoy it because, you know, my freshman year, I didn't want to believe it. I didn't think it was true, but people kept telling me it's going to go by faster than you think, and now that I'm here and my time here is about over, it's now I believe it. You know, it's kind of hard to believe that it's going by so fast, and it's not a hard thing to process. I mean, it's not an easy thing to process, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just trying to enjoy it and, you know, slow time down as much as possible.
Could you have envisioned, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but could you have envisioned what a big figure you've become? In a lot of ways, you and Nick are the face of this team, and could you have ever envisioned that happening?
You know, I'm not naive to the fact that people do look at some of us like that, but, you know, I don't really see it like that in everyday life. You know, I couldn't have, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to enjoy people's company, you know, meet new people and be nice to them. And, you know, the type of interactions I have with people and the good people I've met, you know, I definitely don't deserve the kind of attention and niceness I've received, but it's hard to imagine, you know, how people view some of us. You know, Coach Oz mentions all the time, we're like superheroes to some people, and you may not realize it in the moment, but, you know, when you take a step back and kind of look at the bigger picture of things, you know, in some areas we're a big deal to people, and it's a pretty cool thing.
Well, I'll just say you've earned the recognition.
Well, thank you.
All right, so last year injury took you out of the final games. That had to be terrible for you, and is that completely behind you?
It is completely behind me, and, you know, it did kind of stink a little bit not being able to play, but it was still cool just to be in the moment and be there with my friends. You know, we still won the tournament. That was one of the coolest experiences ever. You know, just because I'm not playing doesn't mean I don't enjoy it by no means. You know, that was still one of the coolest memories of my career, and I mean, it's definitely top five for sure. And I still enjoy it as much of it as I possibly could, and it was a really cool experience whether I'm playing or not. I was just glad to be there.
I don't want to get ahead because there are a lot of games to play, but they have an opportunity this year to three-peat the Sun Belt Conference. Well, what a statement that would be, huh?
Yes, sir, it definitely would be. And, you know, like you said, we're not trying to get ahead, but that's definitely one of our goals, is to win the conference and win the conference tournament. But, you know, we're just trying to take it one step at a time. You know, we have a lot of good guys on this team, and, you know, we really do love each other, and we have a lot of good synergy coming into the season. But, you know, we're just trying to take it one step at a time, and we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But that's definitely one of our goals for sure.
Carson, in an era where there's all this transfer and rosters just turn over, this program has only lost one significant player since all of this started. What has been the secret that has kept this team together?
You know, I think that's kind of the relationships we build. That's kind of the culture we create. It's always been here, the guys before us. You see that tradition of excellence board. All those guys who want all them cool things up there, they kind of created that culture, and we keep it going. And a lot of it has to do with the coaches. The coaches kind of instill that in our minds from day one, and they help us carry it out. And, you know, the players, we carried it out between ourselves, and that's just kind of – that's one of our things. That's what makes us Southern Miss, and, you know, that's why we may not technically have the most ranked prospects ever, but, you know, we play good together and we love each other and we play for each other. And that's typically why we win a lot of ball games, is because we want to win for each other. We don't want to win for the other things and all the attention and stuff. We want to win so our brothers can win with us.
All right. I'm confused. I read an article this week. D1 says Southern Miss is obviously a regional team, likely to host a super regional, but don't put you in the top 25. Does that bother you? Do you care about that at all?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because we actually talked about that in our team meeting. You know, we're a prideful bunch. You know, we take pride in what we do, and, you know, if someone were to tell you it didn't bother them, they're lying to you. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like I said, we are prideful. We want to be in that top 25, but it's preseason. We've been in the top 25 before, and we ended up not in the top 25, or we haven't been in the top 25, and we've ended up hosting super regionals. So, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, we got to go out there and play and win ball games, and it doesn't really matter what preseason says, all what happens up there in Omaha. So that's all that really matters.
All right, Tuna, you've been on our show before. You're going to be on our show throughout the year. But let's make a pact right now. Let's have this same interview at the end of the year in Omaha, Nebraska.
There you go. Let's do it.
All right, the great Tuna, Carson Pato, one of the big personalities on the team, one of the kids got to lead the team this year, Kelly. And kids like Tuna are rare these days. I mean, this is going to be his fifth year here at USM. Never thought about leaving. You were gone Friday. We talked to Nick Monastery. He said he hears all the outside noise about what he's going to do. He has no interest in leaving. This program has done one heck of a job in keeping its best players in-house.
But to be fair, we do need to note, too, that it's not like none of our guys are getting, like, I'm sure that some of our guys are getting NIL money. You know, because
they get some. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And because that comes up all the time, they'll go, well, just because that's why we're keeping them is because we're so good. No, that's a big part of it for sure. But you also have to understand the economics of it too, and that's the landscape we're in, and that's what you're going to have to deal with, you know, going forward. But the bottom line is no matter what the money's like, if it's a cancerous environment, if it's not a place where you can thrive both personally and professionally, they're going to leave. So that is a testament to the way that the program has been developed and continues to be maintained.
All right, you took some heat last year from some of the quote-unquote experts when earlier in the year you said this would be as good a pitching staff as we had last year's team. By the end of the year, proved to be right. I mean, we brought kids in that early in the year did not look too good, that were dynamite. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Kelly Sander. Does this team have the talent to make it to Omaha?
Yes. Yes, and I stand by my statements about the pitching staff. I think as good as that staff turned out to be, I think this staff has the potential. I mean, these guys now, and Andrew talked about how some guys are unproven, and I get that. But as each year goes by, particularly the pitchers, if you show a prowess for pitching, you're getting national exposure at age 15 and 16 at these national showcases. You're playing in big games against really good players. So it's certainly fair to say that a freshman these days is not anything like a freshman when you and I grew up. Mm-hmm. These guys have been tested by playing the best players in the country, or certainly the region, at 14 and 15 years old, and they grew up together. So even though it's a young pitching staff, they've been proven in some fires that are comparable to their age. I think they're going to be just fine.
So the days of kids just playing 4 years of high school ball and then going to college are over. They're playing on these travel teams, and the good ones are basically living on these travel teams.
They're identified early. You know, at these national showcases, Atlanta, Cobb County, that area is really big at these national tournaments. You know, Under Armour, Baseball Factory, the list just go on and on, where they're being identified earlier on. And so, again, you might be getting a freshman in age, but you're getting a guy that has already been through the fires, being tested by some of the best hitters his age in the country. Now, none of those freshmen haven't faced 26-year-old hitters like they have at Tennessee. and I'm not joking.
No, all right? You're not.
I'm stating facts.
No, you're not.
So that's a little bit different ball game, but I'm just saying, compared to people their own age, they're great. This staff is really good.
I actually saw an article over the weekend, Kelly. The punter at East Carolina has entered the portal. He's 30 years old.
Notre Dame had a 30-year-old kicker. this year. And sometimes, you know, BYU and some of the kids that took sabbaticals because of religious, beliefs, and they take their mission trips. You understood why the BYU guys were 25 and 26. But now some of these guys are 30.
Yeah. We agree real quickly. Southern Miss is as talented as anybody in the country, really, overall. One or two exceptions, perhaps. Talented plenty enough to make it to Omaha. But, you know, everybody that makes it to Omaha has to have a little luck along the way, don't they?
For sure. The only team that doesn't need any luck because they've got the referees and the conference.
We're going to talk about Kelly's favorite team next. Kelly's very excited that he's going to get to see another day of Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, Don't Touch Me, Mahomes.
I would have the opportunity to watch them, but I'm not going to.
It's just disgusting. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This segment is sponsored by DBAT Hardy Street. Luke Reynolds is the manager. DBAT, a great place to take children for baseball and softball training. And when you're done, go to Mobay Beignet Company. Eat some good, delicious beignets with the topping of the month. Drink yourself some cold or hot coffees. Get anything you like to drink. And the beignets, we guarantee you. We guarantee you, Kelly Sander, will be good.
Although, Bob, I got to tell you, the cold PBRs at 4th Street Bar and Grill don't go good with the beignets.
No, don't do that. Have you tried that, Kelly?
Yes, I
did see Kelly one time years ago at my house, actually, eating key lime pie and drinking a Budweiser. I thought that one was a bit of a stretch.
I don't know which appalled Miss Angela more, the combination of the key lime pie and the beer, or the fact that I was eating key lime pie right out of the pie pan.
Yeah, that bothered her just a little bit. When you left, she did mention, does he not use forks? No. Generally speaking, no, Angela.
No, who am I trying to impress, right? As I sit here in my fashions by John Fetterman.
Yeah, for sure. All right, real quickly, news and notes, because I know you're dying to talk about your idol, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
You had to bring it up. It was such a good show up to this point. Bob mentioned the Lady Eagles win over Marshall over the weekend, 54-48. The win moves the Lady Eagles to 7-13 overall, 5-6 in league play. The Herd drops to 6-14 overall, 1-8 in women's league play. The Lady Eagles return home Wednesday, where they will begin a four-game homestand. Wednesday night, they will entertain Texas State. Again, that's game one of a four-game homestand. That game will be on Thursday night. The men will be home against Arkansas State on Wednesday night. So Wednesday and Thursday, you can head to Reed Green Coliseum for some good basketball. Speaking of basketball, the city of Pensacola is telling everyone that starting today, you can go to visitpensacola.com. Visitpensacola.com and get your tickets for the Sun Belt postseason basketball tournament. Again, that contract with Pensacola was extended for, I think, another 8 years. So Pensacola is going to be the home for the Sun Belt Tournament for years to come. Visit Pensacola.com. You can get all the information on how you can get your Sun Belt basketball tournament tickets. The Lady Eagle softball team getting ready. They open 1 week prior to the men. We mentioned the men will open a Valentine's weekend. The Lady Eagles open February 7th against the University of Nebraska. The Cornhuskers coming south for an early spring break. So the Lady Eagles against Nebraska, they're opening softball on February 7th. The New Orleans Saints, meanwhile, as they continue their quest, they have the only opening now left for a head coach in the NFL. And although Mike McCarthy, the former coach of the Cowboys, interviewed with the Saints, it looks like the Saints may be focusing on Philadelphia Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore now reported out of New Orleans to be the leading candidate to get that position. But, of course, the Eagles are still playing. They have a Super Bowl game coming up. Quick standings in men's basketball in the Sun Belt. Arkansas State leads the way, 7-2 in conference play, 16-5 overall. Arkansas State's really good, and you'll get a chance to see the Red Wolves Wednesday night here at Reed Green Coliseum. South Al is in second with a 6-2. 14-6 overall record. Then Marshall and Troy follow with three losses. Southern Miss is in a log jam with four losses between James Madison, Old Dominion, Texas State, and Southern Miss. So it's a big game tonight against Troy. Women's play, it's all JMU and Arkansas State. JMU 9-0 in the league. Arkansas State 8-1. Troy and App State just one loss behind. Archie State with two losses. The Lady Eagles are now tied for 10th in Sun Belt play. That's your news and notes for this Monday.
Well, about a minute and a half left. I'm not a conspiracy theorist type of guy. I don't really watch Kansas City play football. I'm just so exhausted with the idol worship of Patrick Mahomes. But I did watch the championship games yesterday, Kelly, and I got to tell you, man, there were every really crucial play that I think decided in a lot of ways the outcome of the game, and two just seemed so egregious. Every single one went Kansas City's way.
Bob, I've been saying this for 2 years, and I know you guys kind of thought that I was, you know, just being obnoxious, which I was, but more and more people are coming to that belief that the Chiefs are, you can't beat them at Kansas City and beat the officials and beat Roger Goodell, when that's who they want.
Yeah.
And look, I don't care for the Eagles necessarily, but if I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl. I really am not.
I hope Philadelphia wins.
I do, too.
I never thought I'd say that, but I do.
They won't.
Yeah. Check out Barstool Sports today, where Dave Purifoy, I believe is how you pronounce his name, he breaks down the video of the two plays in particular I'm telling you about, and he says he's not going to watch any more NFL football until this changes.
That's all I can do as an individual consumer is not watch. That's all I can do.
Two egregious plays that were huge plays that led to Kansas City scores. And, I mean, you don't have to be an NFL football player to be able to watch a guy sneak for a fourth down and have the official take a step back and put the ball down. I mean, you don't have to be a football player to see what just appears to be egregious calls.
You know, and professional wrestling has even for years now said that they're entertainment, right? I mean, it's just really. And my sister's a Chiefs fan, so we just learned not to talk about it. You know.
Well, the good news is we get to watch Taylor Swift act like the world has come to an end every time Kansas City gets a first down.
What's the good news?
Yeah, I'm vomiting in the mic, if that's in case you're wondering what
that's
that
the title of her
is.
Next album, Vomiting in the Mic.
Yeah. Well, it should be a hit.
Would be here.
I never thought you'd hear me say this, but go Philadelphia Eagles.
I never thought I'd hear you say that either.
We're back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We hope you'll join us. Sorry for the technical problems. I think we've got them worked out. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.